I have a message for us this morning from Romans chapter 8, which is in your bulletin there. This is one of the greatest chapters in all of the scripture. Somebody has called this the best chapter in the Bible. We're going to be looking at five freedoms that we find in the scripture, not just in this passage, but we'll get at least a couple of them out of these lines. Let us hear God's holy word. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but we also ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. Thus far the reading of God's precious word. Now, we have prayed already for the service. We want to come now to our message entitled, Five Freedoms. I heard a story about work being done recently with monkeys. Scientists are looking into the ability to find how they can speak and communicate to us and to develop their vocabulary. And one monkey in particular drew the attention of top scientists around the world as they gathered eagerly to see this chimp in its cage connecting letters and syllables. It was awesome that they could be present to hear the first monkey's sentence. And you know what the monkey said? He wrote three words, get me out. Nobody wants to be in a cage. Everybody wants to be free. When you and I, as American Christians, think about freedom, our mind immediately runs at the 4th of July or on Memorial Day. We talk about our civil freedoms. I mean, what other nation in history or at the present enjoys such liberties as our nation enjoys? They don't enjoy the things that we enjoy in, for instance, communist China or communist Vietnam, or even in other nations that do have greater amounts of liberty. America certainly has its uniqueness. So when you and I think of the idea of liberty or freedom, the first thing that comes to mind are things like the freedom of speech, freedom to assemble, freedom of religion, freedom of the press, freedom to bear arms, and so forth. But as believers in Christ, there are bigger liberties, bigger freedoms than even these that we have just enumerated, which in fact form the backbone and basis for the freedoms that we have enjoyed in this limited civil way in our American experience. And I hope that you're going to see that today. When you and I think of freedom, it should be a much bigger idea in our minds than just thinking about those lists of freedoms enumerated, for instance, in the Bill of Rights. And the first I want you to think about freedom, is not the freedom of this world or of this creation, but rather first, the first of five is the freedom of God. Have you ever thought about the fact that God is free? God is free in who he is, what he does, all of his purpose. God is not encumbered. God is not limited. God is sovereign and free over all things. And that is central to who he is and thus impacts all of his creatures. Have you considered the freeness of God? God is absolutely sovereign and free to do all of His pleasure. Nobody can hinder Him, above or below. He is the independent God. He is in no way limited or reliant upon His creatures. Have you ever considered that God can and does do all that He pleases? So God's unchangeable freedom stands over and under all of His works. He's not a God who is somehow chained or limited in Himself or hindered by anything. Why is it that all mankind wants to be free? Have you ever noticed that? Why are there none in this world who really are in our hearts saying, man, I really want to be enslaved. I really, really want to be in bondage. Please just put me in prison for the rest of my life. I would like to live behind bars if you don't mind. Why do we act that way? There's no separate group of people, say, in Australia or up in the North Pole, who say we live to be in bondage and to be limited this way. The reason is because man is made in the image of God. We are reflecting the freedom of God in our own character, in our own personhood, being made in the likeness of God. And then the question is, why is it then that there are so many people who want to enslave and dominate others? Why are there dictators? Why are there tyrants? Why are there men and even women who rise up and say, I want to control your life? Why so much oppression? Well, because by sin, we have, in some ways, become like the devil. We're opposite to God in that regard when we want to control or tyrannize or dominate and limit the freedom of others. But we see here in this picture which side God is on. So that's the first thing. As we think about the freedom, freedom comes from God because God Himself is free. Divine freedom. God's own glorious sovereignty and freeness to do all of His own pleasure, which is always good, always holy, always wise. We move on then to number two, and that comes from our passage directly. From God's freedom to a future global freedom. This world God has made has a future, and that future is set. God has a purpose for this world with all of its troubles and all of its trials and all of its sin and all of its evil. It is under some kind of a bondage right now, as we read in this passage, and it is going to be liberated. Look here at verse 21. If you still have your bulletins in front of you, you can look at the language there. The creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. So right now, the creation is in slavery. It has been submitted to this futility. It is under a curse, as it were. And so that's the picture. But the end, the goal, is that it's going to be released from this corruption, released from this slavery, and it's going to enter into freedom. It's going to enter into liberty. This world is not now entirely free. It labors. It bears weeds and thorns and thistles, as was warned in the Garden of Eden. It's chained down with futility, with bondage. And so that's why this world becomes the stage on which wicked men and demons have their way. People say, well, why, if God is so good and great, why is there so much evil in this world? Because sin is really bad. Sin is as bad as the Bible says it is. And God permits this for a season. God has placed this world under these things. We say, why doesn't God do something? Oh, He will. Be sure that day is coming. You can count on it. This bondage that this world is in will not always be so. It will not long be so. A quick work is the Lord doing here in this present age. The prison door is going to be opened by Jesus, who has that key, who, as the scriptures say, is able to subdue all things unto Himself. And as we read in the glorious finish of the Bible, there's coming a new heavens, there's coming a new earth, there's coming a whole new set, as it were, as we long for the end. Oh, what a world of perfect freedom that will be, in which the free and triune God will be all in all. And there will be no longer any raising their head in sin or rebellion against Him when Jesus subdues all things to Himself. Can you imagine that world? The Bible tells us, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it so much as entered the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love Him. A world of perfect joy, unchangeable peace, unlimited unity in all. A world where every knee gladly bows the free Savior and our God, Jesus Christ. I hope you can imagine that. If you are a Christian, you have already seen these things by the mercies of God. You have already tasted of that great marriage supper of the Lamb that is coming. And this brings us to the third freedom, the next freedom. We have God's freedom. We have this global future freedom when the world is released. But this is hinged upon the liberty of the sons of God entering into their full final state of liberty. This third one then is the freedom of God's children. The living God has made His children free by the gospel. We have sung this in this hymn that we just mentioned, that Mr. Winslow reviewed for us, that Christ has freed you, believer, from condemnation for your sin. He has freed you from sin's dominion. He has freed you, as this chapter in Romans 8 tells us, the dark mind of the flesh, who resists God and His ways. He has saved you and freed you from death, freed you from hostility towards God. You were enemies of God when Jesus laid down His life for you. And He has freed you from this inability in us in the flesh to please Him in any way, and from being, as it were, a part of this fallen world, belonging to this evil age, from our own selfish life. And praise God, He has delivered us from fear. He has brought the peace of the gospel into our hearts and lives. You have been released into a new life, a new hope, a new relationship with heaven. A new power now abides in you, Christian, weak though you are, and a new assurance of being a child of God. And if that's the case, with that comes a battle. A battle with the old ways, with this world that has fallen. A battle for righteousness against wickedness and mortifying the evil that still resides in our flesh. Living as children of God means you can't go on like you did before. Living as though you are still slaves and debtors to the flesh and under the devil. And what a slavery you were in before God rescued you. Worse than being a slave in old Egypt like Israel was. This was a far worse bondage, to be under the false trinity of the world. To be under the bondage of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Jesus has come to proclaim liberty to the captive and to open your prison door. He said, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. So Christ, our Savior, has given us our Magna Carta, our Bibles, that is the bedrock for our foundation. So these are the three bigger freedoms. There is the freedom of God. There's the freedom of this world that is going to obtain at the last. And there is, of course, the freedom of the gospel. There is nothing like gospel freedom that rescues us from the bondage of sin, its guilt, its power, its pollution, and the devil's hold upon us. So, could we have another whole message here on the bondage of those who don't know Jesus. As that passage we just sang from Charles Wesley illustrates, people are living in this prison. They don't even know that they're in bondage. They're decorating their prison cell as though this is wonderful freedom. And then when God comes and shines a light upon their darkness, a darkness which they love, a darkness which they call light, all of a sudden everything has changed. And that's what happens in our conversion. So this is the spirit of this age, to love the chains of sin, to love alienation from God. And where does this slave house lead? It leads to eternal bondage called hell. A place of chains, says the Bible, a place of darkness, a place of torment. Hell is God's prison, and all of us are going there unless the Lord rescues us from the judgment, from the sentence that sets upon us. So this brings us to number four, and I have to be very brief here. The fourth freedom is what I call false freedom. False freedom. Garbage freedom might be a good name for it. It's a remarkable thing about our language that freedom and the word liberty can be applied to so many different things. It doesn't always have a wholesome referent, you see. There is in this world a liberty that takes away liberty. There's a freedom that we call freedom that takes away freedom and destroys it. And so how easily we can be duped into counterfeit liberty. People today in our culture are standing up for and marching and parading a false liberty. A liberty that is of the flesh. A liberty that is of sin. A liberty to do evil against your neighbor. The liberty is the difference between the liberty of a citizen being faithful and the liberty of a criminal. The criminal's liberty is going to be very different. A criminal, a thief, believes that he's at liberty to take your stuff. But a citizen will say, I'm not going to touch another person's belongings. There's obviously a difference between the liberty of a child and an adult. My kids, when they were little, they thought they had the liberty to do whatever they wanted to do. If it was up to them, they would love to be free to eat candy all day long. But the freedom of an adult is different. And obviously the freedom of somebody who is moral, a moralist, is different than the freedom of a pervert who lives for wicked things. Those are quite different, aren't they? And yet we talk about their liberties. We talk about their freedoms as though that's interchangeable. They are not. One is a liberty that promotes liberty, and other is a liberty that destroys it. So take, for instance, as was mentioned previously, the liberty of abortion. A woman's body has a right over her own body is the theme of the pro-choice view. And we should stand up for that, right? I would stand up for any woman's right to her own body. Of course that's her right. But that right of abortion then takes away the liberty, it takes away the life, it takes away the body of another. She doesn't have the right over another human being that God has placed within her and which has been done by her own actions. See the difference here? Does she have that freedom? It destroys liberty, doesn't it? That kind of a freedom. I have the liberty and freedom over my body. You do, but it stops at that other life that is within you. So the freedom for a child of God and the freedom of the devil are vastly different. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The same Bible says that the one who is free to sin is in bondage, no matter how much they proclaim, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. William Cooper says he is the freeman whom the truth makes free, and all are slaves beside. So true freedom is in accord with what is good, right, and true in the Lord, in the Word of God. And all else is a lie. The children of darkness are calling light evil. You try to talk to somebody who doesn't know the Lord, who's living for themselves, and they go, oh, I could never be religious. It's so constricting. How do you put up being so straight-laced? They see that as anything but freedom. Why? It's because their nature has not been changed. Their appetites, their eyes, their ears, their feelings, their whole goal of life is all upon themselves. And anything that restricts that must be a constraint to them. It's like putting on shackles. But the children of light call darkness evil, call darkness poisonous. One is a way of death, the other is of life. One destroys and the other builds. I mean, think about a train. I think a train is a beautiful illustration here. When is the train most free? Is it when it's on the tracks for which it was made? Or is it when it says, hey, I want to be free and act like a car and jump off the tracks and jump into the ditch or jump into the ravine? Is it free then? It's free of the tracks, but it's not, by definition, free. And that's a picture here. And this brings us then at last back to where we began, to freedom number five. We've seen counterfeit freedom, garbage freedom. and the three big freedoms, the freedom of God, the freedom of this creation and where it is going. This world will be made a new heavens, a new earth. And then thirdly, the gospel freedom that is brought to us through Jesus and his cross. Now, the fourth one is this, or the fifth one is this. We are talking here about worldly freedom. If we've seen liberty is not meant for good, is meant for good and not evil. It is for the pursuit of life and another liberty and happiness. And so here we're talking about earthly freedom, which is built upon these other first three, and to avoid number four. The proper liberty, for instance, for marriage and for our families. The liberty for educating our children as we see fit and not how others would put upon us. The liberty for labor and providing for our lives and the needs of the poor. And of course, liberty for the church, which must be free. So these basic liberties that have been put into the Declaration of Independence, into our Constitution, that's what flows out of this worldview of a free God. And we're made for freedom. Our consciences are to be free, to seek the Lord and to do what's right and to do what is good. And let me tell you something, one of the most important of all freedoms and liberties is to stay out of the way. To stay out of the way of never dying souls. To find God, to find immortality, to find the gospel. You put a stumbling block before the feet of any from finding God, from finding heaven, from finding Jesus. And you will pay a heavy, heavy price in the end and to all eternity. The furnaces of hell are heated hottest for those who have stopped others from receiving the gospel and have caused their feet to stumble in this way. And so we see how governments then are meant to stay out of the way, as it were, to guard the people's liberties. And this has been one of the most unique things about our American Constitution, a document that actually limits government instead of limiting the governed. And behind that is the Declaration with this earth-shaking truth that all men are created equal. That all men under God are created free. That's not a right that men give to them, which then could be taken away. But we see the change in our day. So many laws are aimed at limiting people instead of limiting the government. And the government's getting huge and involved in everything. And that government limits what good people can do while protecting what evil people want to do. And the Bible talks about this. Laws that are framed to do evil, to protect evil. So guard those freedoms. Understand as a Christian the freedom of God. The freedom that this world is entering into at the last. And the freedom of the gospel that has freed you from the worst bondage, the bondage of your sin. Beware of false freedom. And guard these limited earthly freedoms. How do you do that? Five things as we close. Number one, pray. Pray. 1 Timothy chapter 2 tells you to pray for those who are in authority. Pray for your government. Pray for those who are your leaders, that you might lead peaceful, quiet lives, that you might enjoy the liberties which God has given to you. Number two, get involved in your community. Get involved in those around you. Encourage your children and grandchildren to be involved in the life of our culture. Number three, by serving the needy. The Bible constantly is telling us to think about those less fortunate than we, to care for those who are in distress and in danger. Number four, by being self-ruled yourself. You cannot govern an ungovernable people. It begins with your governing yourself, you see. Be self-ruled. Be sacrificial. Live for others. That's the message that we're having next door this morning. What does it mean to love your neighbor? And then fifthly, and above all else, worship the Lord according to truth. There's nothing so liberating to the soul as offering up your bodies as living sacrifices by the mercies of God, which are holy and acceptable in your reasonable service. Dear people, do not be conformed to this world. The Bible tells you to be conformed rather to Christ. Be conformed to that world to which you are going. Do you not pray, Lord, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Be conformed to things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God the Father. Amen. Father, thank you for your mercies to us, and we ask your blessing upon these thoughts today. Help us to be a people who know what true freedom is, to know the free God through Jesus Christ, to know, Lord, that this world is going to be greatly changed when our Savior returns. And Lord, we long for that change as we groan in this present evil age. But yet, Lord, because of your gospel, we have been made freedmen. And as freedmen, we are free to serve you and to serve one another, to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Lord, bless us, keep us from the false freedoms that are being sold today and being received so eagerly by those who do not know you, and even some who do. We pray, Lord, that you would guard our liberties so that we may serve you acceptably in our generation. We ask all these things in the wonderful name of the one who laid down his life for us, the Lord Jesus. Amen.